Last week we saw how that God most profoundly revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. But we also know that God has revealed himself in creation, that nature has its the fingerprints of God upon it. So the only reason that I have any answers for the questions that you have today is because God is a self-revealing God. He has revealed himself through the Son of God. He's revealed himself through creation. And today we're going to see how God has given us a written revelation of himself in the Bible. And so we talk about today, is the Bible reliable? Now, if we establish that Jesus is God, then we must be able to trust what Jesus says as the Son of God about the Word of God. And we find that here, among other places, in Matthew 5:17-18, where he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." He's talking here about a huge chunk of the Old Testament. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Now, for some of you here this morning, this is just a no-brainer for you. You read your Bible, the Bible says it, that settles it for you, and you've never had any doubts. But others of you may have had doubts about the Bible that you hold in your hand. Is it written by just human beings who write stuff about God? And if it is, then what makes their opinion any more authoritative than anyone else's? And so it's really not an objective source of truth by which we can measure right and wrong. Is the Bible that you hold in your hands or stored on your iPad or your smartphone, is it really the very Word of God? Well, suppose that you are digging through some of your old books and you come across the classic, The Cat in the Hat, by Dr. Seuss. By the way, does anybody know what his full name is? Theodore Seuss Geisel. I know you came to church today just hoping that the pastor would answer that important question. Well, you open up your book and you get to thinking, you know what, this is really old. I wonder if this is a first edition, The Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. And if it is, it's worth thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. But how do you know that this is an authentic first edition? Well, you might go to an antique art dealer or book dealer, and he would know how to discover if indeed it is an authentic first edition. There's certain markings and certain features that they know to look for in the book. And to verify that your book really is a true, authentic first edition of The Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. Now, the same principle applies to the Word of God. And the fact is that scholars down through the ages have identified certain features and evidences that are unmistakable proof to us today that the Bible is a supernatural, miraculous book. It is the very Word of God that we hold in our hands. That it is the written revelation of God himself, and therefore it is a reliable source for wisdom and for divine truth that we must all live by. Now, let me just say from the start that there's no way I can answer every question you have about the Word of God. And there's so much information out there. And so I want to encourage you to do some of your own research. For instance, you can go to exploregod.com. Exploregod.com. There's loads of information there for you to scour and to do your own research. But here's our starting point this morning. Our starting point is that there is solid evidence that gives us confidence that the Bible is the very Word of God. And here's the first piece of evidence that we would find as we look objectively at the Bible. And that is what we find inside of our Bible. And that is that the Bible claims divine origin. It claims divine origin. Now, the Bible is a book, but it is also a book of books, written by about 40 different authors over a span of 1,500 years. There's 66 books in your Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and written by a variety of different authors. But the Bible asserts that God is the source of truth and that he has communicated that truth to human authors by inspiring them to write the truths and the words that we have in Scripture. And on top of that, he presided over the process of that message coming through their personality onto the pages of Scripture today. He presided over it and protected the process so that what we have before us today is the authentic Word of God. For example, we read in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, a very important statement, where it says that the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. Now again, we're looking at what the Bible claims for itself, because we would be surprised if the Bible is the Word of God, that it is not, if it's not claimed by the Word of God. And so we know that Moses, the author, Spirit-inspired author of the first five books of the Bible, wrote down what God said to him. And so not just Moses, but all of the biblical writers understood that they were not just writing their own thoughts, that they were writing the thoughts and the truth, the very words of God. For instance, the prophet Jeremiah said, "This is what the Lord said to me." So he's not making up his own message. He claimed, "This is what the Lord said to me." Ezekiel the same way, "This is what the sovereign Lord says." So we come to the New Testament, and we find that little statement in 2 Timothy 3:16 where the Apostle Paul says that all Scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God. He's referring there to the Old Testament Scripture, that it is God-breathed, that it comes from the very mouth of God, that it didn't find its origin in human wisdom. Now, this is written in the New Testament. So how do we know that the New Testament is reliable? Well, we know that by the claims of the New Testament. For instance, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. He's speaking here of the Old Testament times. But in these last days, speaking of New Testament times, he has spoken to us by his Son. And so God used holy men to pass along to us his word in the Old Testament. And he also used holy men called apostles to pass along his authoritative message of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So for example, when Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he said to them, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, remember, he's an apostle whom God has chosen to communicate the truth of the gospel. He says, you received the word of God. He didn't say you received the word of Paul. You received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God. And this is the word that we find in our New Testament, the witness and the message of the apostles. So we're not surprised if this really is a book authored by God. We're not surprised that the Bible would identify its own author, that it comes from God. But there's another piece of evidence that's important, and that is that the Bible contains fulfilled prophecies. Fulfilled prophecies. It contains hundreds of prophecies or predictions. In the Old Testament, God gave predictions and truths to men called prophets who spoke from God about things that would happen in the future. Sometimes these would be encouraging words that would would help the people of God to have hope that brighter days are ahead for them. Sometimes these prophecies were words of judgment, warning of God's judgment that would come if people didn't repent. And one after another, these prophecies were fulfilled. And as history verifies, it's not just that the Bible says it, we have historical evidence that prophecies actually came true. And it's not just a coincidence. But I think the most astounding prophecies that are found in the Bible relate to the coming of the Messiah. Scholars have identified more than 300 separate prophecies that speak to the coming of the Messiah in very specific detail. Prophets came to know about the place, the town where Jesus would be born. They prophesied about the nature of his supernatural miracles and his healings. They prophesied about the fact that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. They prophesied the manner of his sufferings, the way in which he would die by crucifixion, and even prophesied his resurrection. And so all of these things that were fulfilled in such amazing detail were written hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, so that it could be no coincidence. In fact, mathematicians have tried to calculate the probability that one person could fulfill even a handful of those prophecies in one life, in one person, is astronomical. They considered an impossibility. And so the fulfilled prophecies of the Bible point to the fact that it is a supernatural book. But there's more evidence. You know, we're looking here at the Word of God to see what we can find that would give us evidence that it's a supernatural book, that it's not a normal book. And this, number three, the Bible demonstrates clear unity. The Bible demonstrates clear unity. Now, once again, the Bible was written by about 40 different authors who come from all kinds of different backgrounds, over a span of 1,500 years, some of them separated by hundreds of years. And yet the amazing thing is that when all of their writings are assembled, and it's a beautiful thing to know how God did that, when it's all assembled, there's one single united message all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. It would be like a high school English teacher giving 40 students an assignment to write a novel. And each one of them is assigned to write one chapter in that novel. And they write it and turn it in. Now, if that's all the instructions that the students are given, then we would not be surprised that when that book was compiled, it would make absolutely no sense. But if the teacher developed the plot and determined the outline, and then assigned various chapters to students based on that outline, then when it's all finished and turned in, then that book would have some order to it and some unity to it. Why? Because it was inspired by a single mind, by a single person. And the same thing is true about the Word of God. The reason that it demonstrates this remarkable unity from Genesis to Revelation is because, in spite of the fact that there are 40 different authors, many of whom didn't know each other, spread apart by hundreds of years sometimes, and yet when it all comes together, there's a single message. Why? It's because it's inspired by one mind, the mind of God. It's the Word of God. And so the other beautiful thing about this, I think, is that this single message is really a single portrait of a person. What you see in the Old Testament is the anticipation and the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And in the New Testament, you have the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ. And so when you read the Bible through this lens, you see that it's not just a single message, it's a single portrait of Jesus. Oh, you hold an amazing book in your hands today. Amen? But there's more evidence that our Bible is authentic. Again, we're just looking at the book we're holding in our hand. The Bible exhibits phenomenal accuracy. The Bible exhibits phenomenal accuracy. Now, if the Bible has been successfully and accurately transmitted to us from God, then we would expect that the finished product would be consistent with the discoveries of history and science and other fields of knowledge. And there are hundreds of examples of this, but let's just use archaeology, for example. Archaeology there are hundreds of examples of archaeology confirming details that are found in the Bible. And one of the most amazing ones is a discovery that was made in the ruins of the ancient Israelite city of Dan. You know, for many years, scholars said that King David didn't exist, and thus he didn't have a kingdom. This was just some claim that the Jews made up so they could have claim to Israel, the former kingdom of David. Well, if David was a fictitious character, then they don't have a leg to stand on there. And so many scholars held that. But back in 1993, these archaeologists are digging around there in the ancient ruins of the city of Dan, and they unearth a slab of stone. And there's some writing, some inscription on that stone. And in the writings, you can see it's the highlighted part there, there is a reference to the household of David. It was an amazing discovery. It's the first historical evidence outside of the Bible that King David actually existed. You can imagine that if it wasn't true, how much of the Bible could be discredited. But archaeology now has verified this amazing detail. And we not only can trust the historical accuracy of the Bible, but we can also trust that it is reliable and accurate in any matter that it addresses, including science. Now, the Bible's not a science book, but in the places that it addresses scientific matters, it is accurate in its representation. Now, this is exactly what we would expect from a book that is the revelation of the God who created the universe and the laws that drive the universe. So we're not surprised at this. And if God is indeed the God of truth, then how could he convey anything but truth in his word? Now there's another factor that we look to authenticate the Bible as a supernatural book, and that is that the Bible displays amazing durability. Now, this alone does not necessarily prove that it was inspired by God. But if the Bible really is God's indispensable truth and message to human beings, then we would expect that it would endure generation after generation. And it would spread from nation to nation and language to language. You see, God wants his message to get to everyone, not just to a few people. If this really is God's message for human beings, then we would expect that God would do whatever is necessary to make sure that it endures through the ages. But if God's message is somehow lost or is somehow corrupted, then what would that say about the power and the character of God if he could not successfully convey his message down through the ages? And the fact that the Bible has endured like it has is a testimony that it is a special book, that it is a supernatural book. You see, God has presided over and protected the process of the copying of the manuscripts and the translating of the manuscripts into the various versions that we have today, so that down through the ages there's this remarkable consistency between the oldest manuscripts that we have and the Bible that you hold in your hand today. It's astounding how accurate they are and durable. You know, the Bible is the most published and widely distributed book in history. And we're not surprised. If this is God's book that he wants to get to everyone, then that would certainly be consistent. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. Of course it would be. This is God's message to all humankind. If God wants to reveal himself to the whole world, then he would do it in a manner that would be durable and consistent. But for me, there's one bit of evidence that is overwhelming. And it's the clincher for me. And that is that the Bible was believed by Jesus to be true. The Bible was believed by Jesus to be true. Now, we come to the conviction that the Bible really is reliable. That it is an accurate historical record of the life and the teachings of Jesus. And so what does it say about Jesus and his teachings? Now, going back to Cat in the Hat illustration, you're getting really excited. Art expert is saying, and his book expert is saying, you've got something really bad. You're getting very happy and maybe very rich. And because there's all kinds of indications and markings and features in this book that it really is an authentic first edition. But the thing that would seal the deal is if Dr. Seuss could come back from the dead and take your book in his hand and say, yep, that's my word. That's it. It's real. And friends, that's exactly what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. He has come and he has verified. Jesus' opinion is that the scriptures are the very word of God. And listen, if we name Jesus as our Lord, and if we follow him as our master, how can we have any other view of scripture than that it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God? Because that's what Jesus believed about it. Jesus honored the scriptures. The passage I read earlier from Matthew chapter 5. What did Jesus say? He said in verse 17, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. He honored the scriptures. He treated the Bible as though it was the authentic word of God. Listen, if it wasn't, then either Jesus was ignorant of that fact or he chose to deceive everyone. Either of those would be inconsistent with the divinity of Jesus. He treated the Bible as though it was the very word of God. He honored it. Christ used the scriptures. He studied them, memorized them, quoted the scriptures extensively in his teaching, talking about Old Testament scripture here. When some people came to ask Jesus a question about marriage, Matthew 19, he replies, "Haven't you read," he's referring to the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Genesis, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Jesus quoted Old Testament scripture as a source of divine truth. He referred to people, places, and events in the Old Testament as historical fact. You know, I'm amazed again at people who claim to follow Jesus but have no trouble discrediting the Word of God. If you believe Jesus is who he is, the very Son of God, then you have to believe what Jesus believed about the Scriptures. He believed the Old Testament was spoken by God himself and written down by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus committed the task to his disciples of communicating and conveying the message of his teachings and the gospel for us today. So Jesus used and utilized the scriptures as the word of God. But also we know that he obeyed the scriptures. He lived his life in accordance with the word of God. He didn't just pay lip service to it. He lived his life by the truth of scripture. He came down to do the will of the Father. He was vitally concerned about fulfilling the Father's plan for his life as it was revealed in the Old Testament prophecies. So Jesus lived and he obeyed the scriptures. And so today we come to this bottom line. Since the Bible is a supernatural book, how would our lives, how would our church be different if we lived as it is really true? I mean, do you understand and do you realize today that when you open the Word of God, you are having an encounter with God, whether you know it or not? You are having an encounter with God. How would that change your day? Let me ask you, will you open your Bibles again before we come together next week for church? Will you spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God and seeking to know God better and better by the truths that you find here? Will you teach it to your children and your grandchildren? Will you talk about it with them this week? Or will you leave it sitting on the shelf like a Dr. Seuss book? Friends, this is the Word of God. And it's not just what you say you believe about the Word of God. It's how you live it that reveals what you believe about the Word of God. It's sufficient, friends. It's sufficient for everything. If it's the Word of God, then the wisdom of God's Word is sufficient for everything. How we spend our money, what you do with your sexual desires, how you order your family, your attitudes. It is the authority for everything. It's sufficient. So why do we just leave it sitting unused and unopened in our homes throughout the week? When you open your Bibles, you are having an encounter with Almighty God.